Welcome to Supernatural Stocks on MoneyWeb with your host, The Finance Ghost. This is your weekly fix of equity analysis designed for stock pickers. Whether local or international, you can expect a mix of news and my ideas about what I'm seeing in the markets. Tariffs, tariffs, tariffs. It's all about the tariffs this year and what this could mean for US consumers and retailers, particularly in terms of who exactly will be footing the bill. Markets generally hate uncertainty, yet US retailers have had a surprisingly resilient share price performance this year. Sure, there are some consumer businesses that have been having a tough time, with the quick service restaurant sector coming to mind there. But overall, we've seen a sharp recovery in the retail sector since that flash crash back in April when tariff noise got really loud. The biggest names like Walmart and Home Depot tend to get most or all of the attention out there, and with good reason, as there are excellent insights from these companies that can be applied broadly. More on that to come. But before we dig into specifics, we can take advantage of the one great truth about the offshore market in terms of getting a lay of the land. Regardless of what you can think of, there's an ETF for that. And in retail, it's no different. The SPDR S&P Retail ETF, which trades under the ticker XRT, is up 4.8% year-to-date. But here's what really makes this remarkable. The index is equal-weighted rather than market-weighted, and because of the adjustments they make in arriving at the exact constituents, the top holdings are names like Ollie's Bargain Outlet Holdings, Bath & Body Works, and grocery group Kroger, a name you might actually know. Among the top 10, you'll also find Dick's Sporting Goods, Dollar Tree, and Abercrombie & Fitch. But you won't find Walmart and you won't find Costco. So this ETF is a very good indication of the on-the-ground situation in US retail outside of those mega stores. That year-to-date performance of the ETF of 4.8% is certainly behind Walmart at 8.4%, but not miles off, and it is ahead of Home Depot at 2.2%. It really is quite something to see the market largely shrugging off the worries about tariffs in not just the biggest names, but also across the entire retail sector. If you had bought that flash crash in that ETF in April, you would now be up roughly 33%. A nice reminder that sometimes buying the dip is exactly what you should do. But aside from the broad market performance, what else can be learned from some of the recent retailer updates that we saw in the US market in the past week or so? The first insight is that people want to click, not walk. Growth in e-commerce is quite something to behold. This is central to my thesis in my Prosus shareholding, something I've touched on many times before in Supernatural Stocks, as I genuinely believe that global e-commerce can only go up from here, and at pace. The numbers we have seen from US retail giants lately have done nothing to dampen my enthusiasm, that's for sure. At Walmart, for example, e-commerce sales were up 25% in the latest quarter. For important context to that number, group sales were up 5.6%, and this tells you that e-commerce grew way in excess of in-store sales. I'll mention Home Depot as well here, as their results are hot off the press. Online sales at Home Depot were up 12%, versus total group sales up 4.9%. E-commerce is coming off a smaller base than in-store sales, sure, but consumers are showing clear intent here. At both Walmart and Home Depot, one of the major drivers of increasing adoption of e-commerce sales is improved delivery speeds. No shock there, giving consumers a better experience inevitably leads to a change in behavior. If you give them a better time when they're shopping online, they will shop online a lot more. But what does this actually mean for the financial performance? Analysts have been skeptical about whether e-commerce growth is a margin accretive or margin dilutive trend for these large retailers. For example, it's harder to tempt you with filling your basket in an e-commerce environment than in a store where the design of the store deliberately makes you walk from one end to the other to do your shopping, not to mention navigating the chocolates and sweets aisle on the way out. And when it comes to delivery, consumers expect not just quick delivery, but also free or at least highly subsidized delivery above a certain order value. And this moves the cost of logistics from the consumer, who would travel to and from the store, to the retailer itself for that last mile solution. And those are just two examples of how profitability can be more difficult in e-commerce. Now, the answer from a profitability perspective is that subscale e-commerce is definitely not as profitable as in-store sales. In fact, it's usually loss-making, as history has taught us. But another thing that history has taught us is that when the scale comes in, that J curve of profitability also kicks in. And again, that is why I am long process, and this scale benefit was made clear by Walmart's management in their latest earnings transcript, with management reiterating the point that the e-commerce ecosystem is about more than just the gross profit you earn on sales. But what does that actually mean? A perfect example is the advertising revenue being earned by Walmart, up 46% in the latest quarter. The source of this revenue is that consumers are searching for products within the Walmart platforms, which makes it a natural place for suppliers to want to increase their visibility. This is no different at all to Google attracting advertising revenue from FMCG businesses alongside its search offering, except the difference is that Google's business is on the wrong side of the AI trend in terms of how people are searching, whereas I believe that the e-commerce plays are on the right side of the trend in consumer behavior. Another obvious benefit of e-commerce is the amount of data in the business and what this means for a deeper understanding of customers and the ability to offer personalized discounts at point of sale. This works really well in a digital environment, not an in-store environment. And finally, profitability in e-commerce is being boosted by changes to fulfillment. Instead of using large distribution centers and then turning that last mile cost into many last miles, retailers like Walmart can use their stores to fulfill orders. This makes perfect sense, as the stores are far more suited to picking and packing individual orders than distribution centers are. Walmart notes that store fulfillment is up by almost 50%, and that is definitely a driver of profitability. So overall, things are working well for Walmart at the moment, with the company even taking the step of upgrading its full-year guidance. There are clearly still non-believers in e-commerce profitability out there, as evidenced by some of the analyst questions on the call, but I really do think that it is a net positive to a business like Walmart. It also plays directly into the winner-takes-most thesis that would be core to any position in a player like Walmart. As an investor, you would surely only be willing to pay such high multiples for that company if you can feel good about sustainable competitive advantages that they enjoy. Well, if you don't think that e-commerce is something that is a competitive advantage that you should be chasing, then I would suggest staying far away from paying a big multiple for the likes of Walmart, because e-commerce is certainly where much of the focus is. But for all of the resilience out there, there is a note of caution on US consumers. We end off with an insight from Home Depot, which gives us a fantastic lens on how US consumers are willing to spend their discretionary income. Home Depot's share price has underperformed Walmart and the retail ETF I mentioned earlier, so that gives you a clue about what might be happening. In the latest quarter, 12 of their 16 merchandising departments posted positive comparable sales growth. Not bad, but is there a pattern here? Management notes that the trend is an uptick in small home improvement projects, while categories reliant on larger discretionary projects are struggling. This speaks directly to both affordability and overall consumer confidence. It's also a function of interest rates, bluntly, as the cost of debt has a direct influence on the ability for consumers to actually take on large projects. So where to from here? Well, that point around interest rates at Home Depot gives us a clue of where the focus might be. Because despite Trump's best efforts to practically force an interest rate cut in the US, the Fed is standing firm. It's not obvious that any relief for consumers is coming. For the likes of Home Depot with a focus on discretionary categories, that means a game of patience, but also a potentially larger boost in relative terms than its peers when that relief does eventually come. For Walmart, it means that they can make money in this environment, but only by executing to the highest standards and focusing on price competitiveness and the benefits of scale. Thankfully, these are things that they are very good at doing, hence why the market is happy to pay up for those shares. There's no such thing as an opportunity without risk, and these are merely my opinions on the stocks covered herein. Make sure that you do your own research, form your own views on the market when doing anything in your portfolio. Nothing in supernatural stocks should be taken as advice.